I'm Stan Asher, the host and producer of Montreal Jewish Magazine. Each week on Radio Shalom, we examine issues of interest to the Jewish community through interviews with authors, filmmakers, musicians, people who are newsmakers themselves and either live in Montreal or come to Montreal specially for this interview. Today on the Montreal Jewish Magazine, I have the great pleasure of speaking for the second time in a couple of years with Nora Gold. Hi, welcome again.
Delighted to be here.
Yeah, you are the proprietress, is that be the right word, or I don't know what word, of Nora Gold at jewishfiction.net, which is, of course, your webpage, but the magazine, the can I call it a magazine?
Yeah, it's a journal, a literary journal, whatever.
Jewishfiction.net, and it's been publishing every year.
Three or four times a year.
So you now have how many issues?
We've just put out our ninth issue.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a couple of minutes, but let's just go back to around the time when we first spoke about this. It's a publication that I guess is about the equivalent to a regular anthology.
Yes, it is. It's interesting you should say that, because a friend of mine is about to publish a wonderful anthology of Yiddish women writers, and it's going to have something like 13 stories in it, and we put out 13 stories every issue. So
yeah,
we were comparing our experiences. Yeah, theoretically, this could be almost, you know, several books a year if we
It's book length, I guess, when you put them all together.
Yeah, I would say each issue is book length.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I just finished watching a television program a couple of weeks ago on PBS, which showed the influence of Jewish culture on the Broadway musical. Perhaps you saw that one. And I kept thinking of, you know, what you're doing for the Jewish literature in this fashion as well. And there are some interesting connections. One of your notes that I found says Jews have been disproportionately represented among authors and readers, but you still can't get things published that much these days.
Well, it's an interesting time. You know, I'm sure, as you know and your listeners know, the publishing industry is going through a crisis because of the advent of digital technology. And, of course, there are many Jewish writers who were either well-established before and are therefore very much in line with the goals of their publishers. But for new writers, new Jewish writers, there are particular obstacles to overcome, I think. You know, it's one thing if you're writing a novel about Jewish characters who are in love, and it's basically a love story, and the characters happen to be Jewish.
Okay.
That's not particularly hard for a publisher to market. But if you're writing about something that is either controversial, such as Israel, or if you're writing about something that is not easily accessible to a larger audience, certain kinds of Jewish issues or questions that we deal with as a people, these are just not considered marketable, to use that necessary but terrible word, and terrible for an author, of course. And I got very concerned as I watched this happening and hearing stories from many Jewish writers around the world, including Israel. And I was really worried that we're not talking about mediocre writing. We're talking about wonderful, excellent, first-rate writing.
So I noticed, yeah.
By people who aren't well-known. And I was really worried that these stories were going to get lost. So that was the primary impetus behind starting the journal.
And it's been doing very well. I'm sure you get, I hate that technical word, feedback, but I can't think of a better one at the moment.
No, we do. It's been delightful. Well, first of all, we're now just 2 1/3 years old, a baby, and already we've had over 33,000 visits to our website from readers living in 104 countries. I didn't even know there were 104 countries. And we've published 120 or novel excerpts that had never before been published in English. And one thing that we're particularly proud of is they were written on 5 continents and in 10 languages. So we're very interested in not just representing North American writing or North American and Israeli writing, but really Jewish writing from around the world. So we have work that's been translated from French, Spanish, Serbian, Russian, Romanian, Croatian, Yiddish, Ladino, and Hebrew. And readers, publishers, writers, I mean, from everybody in the literary community, each from, you know, all from their own angles, are very, very excited. At present, we're the only journal, either online or in print, the only English-language Jewish journal devoted exclusively to publishing original fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody who wants to publish their work, you know, the other English-language journals will publish sometimes one story per issue, so that's three or four stories per year. But in terms of journals devoted exclusively to publishing original fiction that's never been published before, we're the only one. And we've received tremendous praise and gratitude for that from all over the world.
This sounds like it's becoming a full-time job.
You are very perceptive, and I would say that, you know, as someone involved with Radio Shalom, which is also a wonderful project, undertaking, and also a labor of love in many ways, you understand how much work it is. You know, a lot of people don't. I think people who are new, especially to online technology, will say, oh, it's just a website, you're just blogging. This isn't blogging. We have a serious peer review process.
Mm-hmm.
We get hundreds of submissions. I have a wonderful team of reviewers. Every piece that comes to us is reviewed through at least two readers. There's a serious editing process, you know, line-by-line editing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge process to pull off a journal like this. And my primary activity is as a writer myself. This is not my full-time, or it was not meant to be my full-time occupation. So there's a juggling act to go on,
yeah,
you know, that I'm constantly doing to keep it in some kind of perspective.
My other maybe controversial question is, how is this financed?
Well, we live off donations.
That's what I thought from reading some of your web material. And you are getting people to help?
We get donations. You know, it's, again, I can see certain parallels to your initiative,
mm-hmm, yeah,
your
in a way.
Program. You know, I think it's very interesting because I was looking for Israeli news online, and I'm used to reading Haaretz, and not long ago they made it a requirement to sign up to subscribe.
I noticed that.
Yeah, we all noticed that. So, you know, one finds oneself switching channels. And, you know, I, of course, in order to sustain this journal, considered all sorts of business marketing ideas, and one of them was to charge. And I've resisted that for several reasons. One is that one of the real commitments of this journal is to diversity,
yeah,
to ideological diversity and political and demographic diversity. So, for example, one of the things that we're really proud of is that we've so far made an effort and have succeeded in publishing fiction by authors who are secular and religious encompassing all streams of Judaism, right-wing, left-wing, Ashkenazi, Mizrahi, Sephardi, old and young, female and male, rich and poor, LGBTI and straight, and Israel,
mm-hmm,
and the diaspora. So, you know, I would never want our journal to be unavailable to people who can't pay. And you know, some people said, well, what's $15 or $25 a year? Well, for some people that is a barrier. And I would like, you know, maybe this is dreaming in color, as they say, but I would love to imagine Jewish high school students, you know, coming home on the bus and reading us on their iPad, you
right,
know. Kids without Visa cards aren't going to be able to sign up. So we're very grateful for the donations that we've received. Of course, we'd love to be receiving more.
I can imagine. Maybe we should talk about this new issue, which is out, mm-hmm, now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's available online and free. This is an all-women's issue.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to do it for a number of reasons, partly because we were receiving so many submissions from women, and also we thought it would be a neat idea to do an all-women's issue. So it's very exciting. We have reserved three spots in every issue for Israeli writers.
Good.
And I can't say we've reserved, but we hope in each issue to have a Yiddish story and a Ladino story. We really have, if you have any of your listeners out there hearing this, and they can send us stories in English translated from Yiddish that have not yet been translated,
mm-hmm,
into English, and the
wonder
same for Ladino. we would be, or in any language, every language, we would be very excited. But anyway, we were able to publish in our previous issue, issue 8, our first Ladino story, and we've been able to publish almost every issue a Yiddish story. So issue 9 has 3 stories translated from Hebrew, a Yiddish story by a Montreal Yiddish writer, Shendel Francis Garfinkel.
Oh.
And actually, it's thanks to your wonderful Montreal Jewish Public Library archives and Shannon Hodge there.
Oh, yes,
who
I know her.
Worked like a maniac to find us a picture, a wonderful picture, and it was hard to find, so we were very appreciative of that. We have wonderful stories here from Israel, Canada, the United States, England, and very exciting, very diverse issue. And also, it includes a story translated from Spanish. We've been very excited to begin receiving stories from South America.
I have a question that I may have asked you last time we spoke, but I'm sort of throwing around in my mind how one defines Jewish story.
Yes,
the author
absolutely.
Is Jewish, the subject is Jewish, the setting is Jewish, all of them, none of them, some of them?
That's a wonderful question. Actually, someone just wrote me that on LinkedIn. I get that question very often, and it's an important question. It's a question that many people have attempted to answer, and many books and thousands of articles have been written about this. So I would say briefly, in a nutshell, to answer the question pragmatically in terms of how we at JewishFiction.net define it, first of all, we don't consider something written by a Jewish author intrinsically Jewish, and we don't care if the author is Jewish or not. That's not our criterion. We've actually had some good submissions from non-Jewish authors. We look for fiction that is Jewish-themed, that is about something Jewish in content, and of course that can be defined in many, many ways.
True.
That can have a religious theme, a historical theme, a cultural theme, a linguistic theme. Obviously Jewish identity is an enormous topic in itself, but something that is intrinsically and deeply Jewish. And what I mean by intrinsically is that, you know, we've received some submissions, for example, where there's really nothing intrinsically Jewish to it. In other words, it's a story. You know, a girl falls in love with a guy, and they're Jewish.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make it a Jewish story.
True.
I know somebody actually who wanted to get her poem published in a Jewish journal, and she showed me the poem, and I said, they won't publish it. Not our journal. This was a long time ago, mm-hmm. a print journal. And I said to her, it's a good poem, but there's nothing Jewish about it. They're not going to take it because it's a Jewish-oriented magazine. And next thing I knew, it had been published, and what she had done was she had taken the character and given her a Jewish biblical name, and she had her, instead of walking down a certain street in Toronto that it had been set on, she had her walking down Spadina. It was set during the period when it was the Shmata district, and instead of eating a sandwich and ruminating about love, she was eating a knish. And the magazine took it, you know, and I remember I was happy for her that she had a publication, but I thought, this is ridiculous. This is culinary Judaism. This has nothing to do with a significantly Jewish experience at any level. So for us, we receive some very good stories that really not intrinsically Jewish in any way. And, you know, we encourage those authors. One of the main purposes of this journal is to encourage Jewish authors in their work, new, exciting authors. But we've said to these people, this is really good. And when you have something that really deals with something substantively Jewish, you know, please send it along.
Well, keeping in mind that the most famous Christmas song ever written was by Irving Berlin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
White Christmas. And in this program that I had mentioned before we went on the air, one of the most typical Jewish melodies of the 30s was by Cole Porter, who was not Jewish.
Yeah.
And My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
Yes,
so
yes.
In that context, maybe we can look at some of the... do you have any specific writers you want to mention that are in the ninth issue I'll just let you think about that, and we're going to take a brief break so they can put some announcements in. And we're back. We'll talk more specifically about the current issue, although it's hard to include some and not include others. We'll be right back.
My pleasure.
Have you heard about this restaurant called Le Shalom? I just heard about it recently myself. It's at the corner of Coolbrook and Queen Mary. The exact address is 5390 Queen Mary Road, but a block west of De Cary. And it's easy to reserve at Le Shalom. Quite simply, you just phone 514-419-4111. Let me give you that number again. 514-419-4111 for the Shalom Restaurant, 5390 Queen Mary.
You are tuned to Radio Shalom, 1650 AM, providing Jewish news from your community and around the world. We bring you news directly from Israel, in English at 2 a.m., 6 a.m., and 10 p.m., in French at 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m., and in Hebrew at noon. Radio Shalom Montreal, your source for Jewish news.
I'm back on the Montreal Jewish Magazine with Nora Gold. We're speaking to her, and she's in Toronto, and here we are talking about her JewishFiction.net website, which is now in its ninth issue. This issue is all the authors are women, and I'd asked her if she had wanted to mention any specific ones. I don't know whether that's a fair question or not.
Yeah, well, of course, one's impulse is to mention the famous authors, and I guess in many ways that's what draws readers to our website. You know, to name just a few of them, you know, we've published Agnon, who, of course, is long dead, but the first translation of a wonderful Agnon novella that had never been translated before. We've got Elie Wiesel and Aaron Appelfeld. You know, when you have names like this, that makes people take you seriously, including some wonderful Canadian names, such as Morley Torgov and George Jonas and so forth, and great Israeli names. So I hesitate to only mention the famous names, but I'll tell you about some of the writers in this issue. There are some terrific stories. As I mentioned already, we're very proud to have a Yiddish story from a Montreal Yiddish writer named Shendel Franzisch Garfinkel.
I see her name at the beginning of your list.
Yes, she's the first on the table of contents page, and she wrote a wonderful novel, a Bildungsroman, a coming-of-age story called Rochel and the World of Ideas, about a young woman who insists on going away to university, leaving a small Ukrainian town, Jewish family, and going to study in the big city, and where she discovers socialism, and that's a wonderful story. We also have a story by a very well-known author, very well-known in South America, Anna Maria Shua, a terrific story called A Nice Boy from a Good Family, and where her grandmother and mother fix her up with a nice boy from a good family. Very funny and a wonderful writer, much beloved in the South American Jewish community. Three Israeli writers who are, again, well known in Israel, perhaps lesser known in Chutz Laretz, outside of Israel. And I must say I'm really happy to be able to give this kind of exposure to Israeli writers, some of whom, many of whom perhaps, have been really sidelined and marginalized for anti-Israel reasons outside of the country. So one of them is Miri Veron, who I won't describe each story, but the opening line is, so in the end, everyone gave in and Penina would stand under the chuppah with the gornisht. You know,
I'm beginning to figure out what the possibilities are.
Yes. The family opposes the wedding.
Oh.
A writer named Yael Medini, last week she was written up on the front page of the Haaretz cultural pages on the weekend edition. She's a marvelous writer. And Hadara Lazar, an excerpt from A Local Affair, which Hadara Lazar is a left-wing Israeli who has done, journalist also, as well as a novelist, who did research on what really happened between Jews and their Arab neighbors during the 48 war. And she did interviews. She conducted many interviews and uncovered all sorts of history. Her book was highly praised by Amos Oz, And this is an excerpt from that novel. It's very, very interesting. And then the lesser known writers who are absolutely wonderful. Erica Dreyfus, Robin Roger, who's a Toronto writer, Carol Lipsick, also a Canadian, Susan Kleinman, Rochelle Singer, Yael Unterman, who's from England, Dahlia Rosenfeld, Gail Benick, another Canadian, and Gila Green, who lives in Israel now. And all wonderful stories.
14 in all, you said?
14 in all. We usually have 13 or 14. Once we had 15, it just worked out that way. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories, what's interesting, as I glance at them now, is that we have a surprising number of Holocaust stories, not just in this one. I would say throughout the journal. It's a very interesting phenomenon. When I started the journal, I didn't really expect this. And I don't just mean from older writers. I mean young people are sending us stories about the Holocaust, set in the Holocaust. And if I wanted to, I could have a literary journal just of Holocaust literature, which was not my intent, I'm not doing. But in this issue, we have two excellent stories, and sometimes people, when they know something is a Holocaust-type story, they come to it with a lot of stereotypes. These are very original, and I haven't seen anything quite like either of them before. One is called Rio 1940, about a German Jew who left his family and is living in Rio. And the family asks him for help, and he never got along with his family, so it's in many ways a story about family dynamics that happens to be set in 1940. And the other one in this category is called Liberation, Two Train Stories. Two marvelous stories about the liberation period, which many of us don't know as much about as...
45,
Yeah, what happened after? And two different stories about things that happen on trains. One concerning the loss of language that comes with trauma.
I've heard of that sort of thing.
Yeah, that this woman is accused of not being Jewish on a train. She wants to sit with the Jews, and she can't remember her Yiddish. She can't remember a word of Yiddish she's been hiding as a Polish girl. And then the other stories also, Hawkeye, Glove, The Fourth Crown. They're just wonderful stories about different kinds of issues. Each one very unique, and we're very proud to have all these writers in our journal.
Would you be publishing special theme issues in the future, or not necessarily?
You know, we haven't done that, partly because we get so many submissions. But for each issue, I write a preface, which begins on the title page, and then to continue it, you click where it says more. And there I try to link the stories or to relate them in some way. I give a sentence or two about each story so people can choose what they want to read. One of our issues, a previous issue, just every single story was really about family. It was very funny. It just turned into the family issue. It was about relationships between husbands and wives and parents and children. It was just funny. But we also time our issues with holidays, with Hanukkah, Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, Pesach, Purim. Purim, Pesach is usually one issue, of course. So we have stories devoted to each holiday. We're happy when we are able to do that. And we have for our upcoming issue, we have a Purim and Pesach story.
Oh, that won't be too long coming within next month or so?
Well, that's right, because the holiday is so early this year. The issue has to come out early.
When a new issue comes out, that doesn't mean that the old issues aren't still available. Everything is always there?
Yes, absolutely. Like you, we have an archive, and it's free of charge, of course, like everything else. All you have to do is enter your email address, and as a result of entering your email address, you're notified when a new issue comes out, but that's all that you get notified about. So we have all 8 issues available to be read.
Because if listeners...
And they're used by students. People tell me that they use them when they're doing research projects. And they read for pleasure. People, read for many reasons.
Yeah, it would mean then that somebody who's listening and has just discovered from this program the existence of your journal will be able to go right back to the beginning.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that was a very exciting issue, of course, for us. We had Elie Wiesel, an excerpt from his book. We only published work that has not yet been published. And we had also, in that first issue, something we were very proud of. We published a story by Chava Rosenfarb, a great Montreal Yiddish writer, the great late Chava Rosenfarb. And I'm honored to say that we were the last to publish her work while she was alive. She was very excited that we were publishing this story of hers, a story that she actually wrote in English and that her daughter, Goldie Morgan Taylor, sent to us.
Yeah, I think in the last part of her life, she lived in Lethbridge.
Yes, that's right. Which is where Goldie lives, yes, her daughter.
I wanted to mention for people who want to track this down further, and when I was doing some preparation, there are some very interesting articles which include interviews about your work in preparing this, and one in a page that I'd not really been familiar before with, but the name attracted my attention, The Arty Semite.
Yes, absolutely. This was the Arty Semite is an arts blog or really art column in the foreword.
That's
we were just delighted. You know, within I think a couple of months before we even had our first issue out, we had attracted a lot of attention. We were interviewed by the Jerusalem Post, the Jewish Week in New York. The foreword's Arty Semite, and also in England, subsequently, the United Synagogue Women's View, Hadassah Magazine, The Whole Megillah, which is a Jewish blog about books, The Allgemeiner in New York. And just yesterday, I was interviewed by Haaretz, Achbar Ha'ir, the city mouse, which is their sort of what's on about town. Listings, and that should be coming out this weekend, which is very exciting to have Israeli readers read in Hebrew about us.
I think maybe it would be appropriate not to really turn this last part of the program into a commercial, which we're not supposed to do.
No.
However, maybe you can explain in a gentle fashion how people can help the magazine.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, there are many ways people can help. Before we get to donations, which is a really important and obvious way, and in a really important way, we really want to get the word out. So if you're listening to this program, please read us. Please, Facebook, we're on Facebook and Twitter. Please like us and tweet us and tell all your friends about us. Again, it's free. It's just a great gift to send all your friends. Check out this wonderful journal. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we're very, very eager to be an international journal. And there are countries and languages that we haven't represented yet. You know, we have nothing from Italian Jews, Hungarian Jews, etc. So, and again, we're looking for more Ladino and Yiddish. So if you know translators or you know of anyone who is a writer, either in English or any language, please send them to us. We have a submissions page which explains what we're looking for. Again, only work that has not yet been published in English. But
okay,
if it's
good.
Been published in other languages, of course, that's fine. All of our Israelis have been published in Hebrew before. Last but not least, we have on our website a blue button that says Donate Now.
Okay.
We're very fortunate in that we are associated with both a Canadian and American organization, so we can provide tax receipts to Canadian donors and American donors.
Mm-hmm.
And for donors listening outside of those two countries, you can still donate. There's a place on our website for that. Through PayPal or through credit cards. And really, I know people say this, but they don't mean it, but I really mean it. There's no donation that's too small. You know, people...
Fair enough.
People are wonderfully kind to us, and we appreciate whatever they can send.
Well, we've come right down against our clock, and I hope that a couple of issues down the road, we'll get back to you, and we'll keep up with this. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Stanley. This has been delightful.
Yeah, and I will now go... check out your issue number 9.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye. We've been speaking to Nora Gold, the founder of the JewishFiction.net website, which has a plethora, would that be a good word to use?
Yes, I would say.
Yeah, oh, you're still on. Good. Of some wonderful stories on Jewish themes. Thanks again. Bye.